This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always by Amanda Stogstill. The diary continues. Monday, October the 14th, morning. Children's Hour had a special guest yesterday, Princess Elizabeth. She talked about evacuated children. It was strange when she talked about us having adventures, because I'm not having an adventure. Not a pleasant one, anyway. I think she meant what she said about all children having courage, though. For this broadcast, we all had to write down our thoughts. Mom and Dad actually checked. Sunday, November the 10th, evening. More kids are telling stories at recess. Nora's friend Bridget has a sister who was involved with the Dunkirk rescue. The hospital ship she was traveling on took many patients. One had to have an amputation. When asked, Bridget explained the patient's leg was removed. They were traveling with other military ships for protection. Even with the cross on the side of the ship, bombs still fell around them. Several times, they were told to turn back and were delayed in returning the troops to England. We didn't receive her letter until it was over. Everything was delayed, but Mum was still relieved. She wept after reading it. We weren't sure where she was or even if she was safe. Dad wanted to send for her, but she won't leave the patients no matter what. Saturday, November the 30th, morning. Liverpool was hit last night. Dad says the reason docks are being targeted is to prevent British ships from coming in or out. This means no supplies or equipment can get through to us or the people fighting overseas. In fact, it's been a week of raining bombs. They fell on Coventry, Birmingham, Southampton, and Bristol. Thousands were killed or left homeless. This afternoon, Nora shared news of her sister. "Where is she now?" someone asked. "North Africa in the desert. Everything's packed onto lorries and driven out to the camp. Their equipment's primitive. Canvas wash basins, sleeping in tents, with little water for drinking and washing." A girl asked, "How are their meals cooked?" Nora explained that the stoves were fueled with paraffin oil and their water had to be boiled before each use. "And it's not used for cooking. They eat in the mess tent. The stoves are for boiling water." "What about their hospital?" I asked. "Everything's in large tents. They use soap boxes for medicine cupboards, boxes for patients' lockers, things like that." I wonder why Nora's sister would put those details in her letters. Perhaps she wanted Nora to know what life was really like. I hate to think what will be in those letters once the fighting begins. Monday, December 2, evening. Miss Simmons is anxious about her sister. She only mentioned her once. She pointed to an English city on the map and couldn't speak. A boy asked her one day if her sister would evacuate and come here. She said no. She said, "My sister won't travel, even though it's for her own good." In church, we pray for the dead and wounded. I read the English Bible on my own, mainly our Torah portion. Monday, December the 9th, night. Yesterday, a battle began in Libya, Egypt. The British and Indian armies are trying to push the Italians out. Today, Miss Simmons surprised us. As the recess bell rang, we eagerly headed toward the door. "No, we're staying inside this afternoon. Lunch will be eaten at your desk." Puzzled, we resumed our seats and began eating our lunches. The humiliated boy sat at his desk, his head lowered. "Well, did you complete your assignment?" Miss Simmons tapped his head with her ruler. The whole class fell silent. "Yes, miss," he mumbled, still not looking up. "Very well, you may begin." He rose, a paper clutched in his hand. He read, "The British Raj was very powerful. The English merchants formed the East India Company in 1600. The people were growing wheat for the merchants. The English were taxing farmers on rent and crops. Three religious leaders have debated India's splitting. The Indian National Congress is made up of Hindus and Muslims. There's Muhammad Jinnah, a Muslim leader, who recently proposed Muslims have their own nation, Pakistan. He believes Muslims should have their own state to worship freely. Gandhi was the head of a peaceful resistance movement for a while until he was arrested. He wants an India where all religions can exist peacefully. Another leader is Nehru, who supports Gandhi, but wants a modern nation with education and individual rights. Can you explain why these three leaders disagree about India's future?" "Because the Indian National Congress is still debating this split. The Hindus and Muslims want independence, just in different ways." Again, I wondered how he'd acquired his knowledge. "I hope I won't have to make that horrible pudding this year. What will Christmas be like?" Tuesday, December the 10th, late night. Well, it happened. We were sleeping downstairs when the siren wailed. We managed to get down the stairs without hurting ourselves. Mum held Sarah's hand. I was in the middle, and Jane had my other hand. she squeezed Dad's. Sitting on the cold, hard floor, we waited. Sarah clutched her doll. Jane was silent. Mom and Dad were holding hands. After what seemed like hours, the all clear sounded. We walked upstairs and tried to sleep. Of course, I can't, so I write instead. No moonlight, so this might be difficult to read. Wednesday, December the 11th. In school, everyone spoke about their similar experiences. Our Anderson shelter was crowded. Our dog kept barking. My sister cried for a long time. Miss Simmons spent the night in her shelter. Just in case it happened again, she said. Everyone was restless, and not much work was done. We weren't even assigned homework. Sunday, December the 15th. This year, no Christmas tree. I helped Mom wrap presents. Fewer this time. But she says, everyone should still be happy. I'm making Sarah a pink and white scarf. But there is cheerful news. The Italians are out of Egypt. The British and Indian armies had to prevent them from reaching Tobruk, a city in Africa. Eventually, the Italians were driven out. Less cheerful news. 4 nights in a row of bombing in Sheffield. Will they ever quit? We hate what those people have to go through when listening to the radio and dreading the sirens. It's awful for us, and we're not even there. Now I'm grateful we listened. Wednesday, December the 25th. Late afternoon, Christmas Day. It was cold this morning when we got up early to walk to church. It was more crowded than usual. Everyone listened as the story of Jesus' birth was read and carols were sung. I knew the words to the Sons Day carol and immensely enjoyed singing. A special prayer was said for the people killed in the Blitz and for their families. Afterward, I found Anne, Italia to me, talking to Daniel. I couldn't believe it. In German, we managed to whisper about our real families, wondering where they are. Before Daniel's mother separated us, I saw her talking to Mrs. Evans. Italia looked terrified, but Daniel's mother said, "Wonderful to finally meet you. We've heard a lot about you from Daniel." Even I was surprised. I didn't think Daniel had told them about her. Mum whispered, "Please keep talking. Don't forget your families." Spotting Mrs. Evans, she said in her normal voice, "Merry Christmas. I hope you have a lovely day." Answering in English, we thanked her. Of course, Mr. Evans wasn't there. As usual, her daughters were silent. They didn't even smile when I wished them a Merry Christmas. At home, we opened presents. Father Christmas came, bringing oranges, more writing paper, and doll clothes that looked like they were made from old curtains for Sarah. She liked her scarf from me. I now have another coat. I'm not sure if it's used, since most of our clothes are made from old material. That kind of thing doesn't matter anymore. Dinner was roast pork with potatoes and peas. The pork came from Helen's farm. Mom exchanged it for jam their mother wanted. Of course, I had to eat everything. Nothing's wasted here. The pudding was apple crumble. Finally, Dad had apples with some sort of cream. When Dad made a face, Mom looked embarrassed. No sugar. I use syrup. Unfortunately, this Christmas is devastating for the people in Liverpool and Manchester. More bombs there. On a lighter note, the King's Christmas broadcast was beautiful, wishing peace for all of us in the years to come. The way things are headed, I don't think next year will be very peaceful. Esther, 1940. A new year. The snow is so thick on the ground, our exercise is held indoors. Mother has me and Catherine doing jumping jacks and running in our dormitory along the wall. Sometimes we exercise with the older girls in the hall outside our dormitories. Mother Matthews has us jump rope competitions and running to the end of the hall and back. Yes, we bump into each other and our canes become tangled up. The girls who went home for Christmas haven't returned, so it's very peaceful. In sewing class, Catherine and I are learning to sew pockets. We only see the older girls during exercise, meals, or in the washroom. In geography, Miss Price has Catherine and me naming places. Without looking, I mean, touching the map. As always, they have to be in order. You blind children should learn more quickly. The kids in my last school were much farther along by now. Miss, the lines are alike, Catherine explained one day. I silently agreed with her. I say hello to William and John in the halls. Their other jobs include keeping the fires going, cleaning classrooms, and clearing snow. William and I talk when we're not busy. We can't talk long, but we always speak about my parents, which makes me happy. One day, John returns with me to our dormitory to repair something. I notice one of his feet drags. When he leaves, I finally ask Mother about it. Yes, he has one leg shorter than the other. An accident at birth, she explains. He's been here a few years. We continue to read the story about the horse, Beauty. He's still living with his new owner and other horses. One is a mare called Ginger. She's mean-tempered because she was mistreated when she was a colt. Catherine's been telling me more about her parents. We live in a small house. Mummy stays home. Daddy works, but they can't look after me. So you live here? I ask. I like it here. I have my own bed, and we eat every day, she says. Who did you sleep with at home? My two sisters. They kick and talk in their sleep, she says happily. Leah and I shared a bed, too. She didn't kick, just stole the blankets. I was cold. Why aren't you two asleep yet? When did Mother come in, I wonder? Try and sleep. Can't you hear the clock? 10 chimes, Catherine says, turning toward Mother's voice. That's not very late. Very good. And yes, it is. Now don't make me come in again. We whisper some more anyway, then fall asleep. Outside, we can hear the howling wind. We play with dolls, too. Where's your doll? I ask. I don't have one, Catherine answers sadly. So I share Minna with her. Mother shows us how to make doll furniture out of boxes and paper. We also sew doll clothes in our sewing class. The vegetables from our garden are all we eat, along with the little meat from our ration books. Butter and sugar are rationed, so no treats. I miss Mama's babka. I have kosher coupons. Mine are used for extra cheese, butter, and kosher meat. Breakfast is eggs, pork sausages, not for me, toast, and sometimes porridge. Lunch and dinner are usually sandwiches or vegetable stew. Worst of all, no news from Susan's mother. I have to patiently wait until after Christmas break. When I asked her about it, Susan just snapped, "Mum's still busy. Don't pester me." Mrs. Davis said pestering means asking someone over and over again to do something. Catherine says it's February. We're stuck inside all the time. Even when the snow melts a little, the temperature is too cold. The fire in our dormitory keeps us warm at night. We wear warm clothes in class, long stockings, and sweaters. Mama packed my scarf, gloves, and coat for the outdoors. If we go out, I'll be able to wear them. Beauty's story keeps us amused in the evenings. To avoid tangled canes, Mother Matthews now pairs a blind and a partially sighted girl when we run. It's after one of our exercise lessons, and William and I meet in the music room. "Can you help me find Leah?" I blurt out. "I'm not sure, love. With no information about where you were taken from, it might be impossible." "Do you know anything about Leah's English family?" he asks. I reply no, but I give him the date we were separated. He says he'll see what he can find with that. It's now March. I'm very happy since the snow is finally melting. The garden and the paths around the school are muddy, but we can at least go outside. John and William are back in the garden, so there's less time for talking if we want privacy. With Mrs. Davis, Catherine and I are writing longer sentences and doing difficult math problems. We still have difficulty writing. We think there's enough room at the end of a line, but then have to start the word over again on the next one. With adding and subtracting, it's difficult to tell if it's a number. The number sign is only used at the beginning of a problem. It's April. The girls are finally back. Tonight is like a big party, with everyone telling stories of their Christmases at home. Hannah returns with new dresses and shoes. "Each dress is made of velvet," she giggles. Next, she shows off her play dishes, a doll wearing a pretty coat and real shoes. We went to the Christmas pantomime, too. The dancing children were beautiful. We even saw Princess Elizabeth, I swear. My brother has his pony. My sister wears lipstick now. When I'm older, Mum said I will too. For dinner, we had a goose, vegetables, potatoes, and of course, the pudding. Our butler lights it every Christmas. She stops for breath. "That's not true," Mary cries. "Princess Elizabeth lives in a castle. You couldn't have seen her." "Well, she was there. I saw the back of her head," Hannah insists. "My sister even said it was her." "You can't tell what someone looks like by looking at the back," Kathleen interrupts. "I have trouble sometimes. So do most people with good sight." "What about you, Esther?" Lydia cuts in. I'm relieved. I can't listen to Hannah anymore. I tell them about my Christmas spent here. "You talk to William," Hannah exclaims. "He works here. You give him orders and must not speak to him." Mother overhears and firmly tells Hannah to come with her. "And no telling stories, Hannah," she warns. He speaks German, too, I think to myself. Kathleen shows us her pretty dresses and new shoes. "They're not very pretty without velvet," Hannah sniffs. "Those are lovely clothes," Aunt Amy says. Catherine fills everyone in on Beauty's adventures. Mother comes in many times after that, at first patiently, then angrily, finally ordering us to go to sleep because "you'll be tired tomorrow if you don't," she snaps. And she's right. We are exhausted today. "Esther, turn your collar inside out," Miss Walters repeats. "See, you pricked your finger." "Lydia, that should be a plus sign, not a U," Mrs. Davis sighs. At dinner, Amy spills her tea. Lydia helps clean it up, but Mrs. Davis isn't pleased. Next time Mother Anderson gives you an order, please obey. We finish in silence. For some reason, I feel like Hannah doesn't like me. She's now saying hurtful remarks about our family. Every time I explain that I'd rather be here than in Germany. When we walk to church, she says Jews like me don't believe in God. When I ask her where she heard that, she answers, Mum and Nanny. One day, in music class, we're listening to Mrs. Blake playing Bach when Hannah whispers something like, Dad says the Germans want to kill us. Mrs. Blake stops playing, and Kathleen says, The composers we've been studying are German. Yes, Kathleen, that's right. Some of them were Jewish, too. Unfortunately, Germany is the enemy in war, just not in this class. They gave us beautiful music. Don't forget that. I try not to let Hannah's words get to me. I'm glad Mary and the others aren't like her. The rest of us enjoy playing with dolls together. I showed them Minna, and now she's played with a lot. It's more fun with everybody else here. We pretend they're having tea with the tiny cups and saucers Hannah brought back. Real metal, Amy gasps. Yes, Mother explains. Soon there may not be any for toys. It's being used to make tanks and weapons for the war. Hannah shares, but not nicely. Mother makes me, she whines one Saturday. I never have to share my belongings at home. We have our own bedrooms. I won't share my doll, Catherine. You can play with Lydia's. Someone asks what a tank is, and Mother says it's a really powerful truck made of thick steel. If the enemy shoots, the tanks are protected. So are the people driving them, I hope, I think to myself. It's Sunday. We're listening to Mother read. Beauty almost died, Amy cries. I know. He became better, didn't he? I ask. Yes, Kathleen says. But the fire was dangerous, too. Most of the horses got out safely. It was unfortunate, Mother stands, closing the book. Now bedtime. I ask Lydia what unfortunate means. She says it's when something bad happens. We're walking one evening when some of us overhear a conversation between Mrs. Blake and Miss Price. Teaching those blind brats is hard. Besides, I shouldn't be here. My husband is fighting too, along with thousands of other men and women. You didn't have to agree to do this post, you know. She sighs. I know. I didn't think blind children would be harder to teach than sighted children. They have to feel the maps, and it takes longer for some of them to try to memorize their shapes. Everyone here struggles with something. Catherine, Amy, and I walk on silently. We agreed not to tell the others. We weren't supposed to hear, after all. It's now May. We have tests called exams coming up. Mine is Braille, and all are in English. It's terrifying because I have to remember how to write sentences and math problems. Mrs. Davis says she'll teach us a faster way to write Braille when we return. We have one last reading before break. Everyone wants to hear another chapter, but Mother refuses. When you come back, you'll hear more, she laughs. Who will Beauty live with next? Amy asks. Someone nice, I hope. Everyone leaves for the summer break. Catherine's parents come, say a quick hello, and then leave. I spend the summer with Miss Walters. Her house has two floors with a sewing room. I learn more words every day, like weave and crochet. I even have my own bedroom with a window. Miss Walters says, looks out to the back garden. When it's open, I can reach down and feel climbing roses. Sometimes there's a cool breeze on my face. This room used to be her daughter's, who's currently training to be a nurse. I explore the room on my first day and find a drawer full of crocheted doll clothes and handkerchiefs. Are these your daughters? I ask, showing her the clothes. Yes, she made them when she was little. She became a brilliant seamstress. Brilliant seamstress. Two new words I hear Miss Walter repeat a lot to me. She says, keep sewing like this and you'll be brilliant like her. I hear music on the radio. It's called Music While You Work. Why haven't I heard this before? I ask one day. You're always in school when it's on the radio, she laughs. The news from Europe is bad and good. There were men trapped on the beaches of a place called Dunkirk, France, and many died, but many were rescued too. In the battle in the skies, many aircrafts were also shot down. But the English still won. The weeks fly by between walks to the shops to buy new clothes and church. I learn many English hymns and some Bible verses. I miss our synagogue and our Torah. In school, everyone reads the Braille Bible. Since I've been here, I've been experiencing new things. Maybe the more I learn, everything won't seem so strange. Like the food is not like the food back home, but it's something I have to learn to eat. Even though Miss Lee and Mrs. Porter try to make it like Mama did, everything still tastes strange. Now we're back in school. September has begun with bombs dropping on London. That's a big city in England. Bombs are like balls of fire that are dropped from airplanes. it's hard listening to that awful news, but we need to be prepared too. Like other schools, we're practicing air raid drills and putting blackout curtains on the windows. Mrs. Davis explains it's to stop the Germans from finding us. No lights anywhere, she warns. We sleep in the dining hall near our cellar, just in case. If we hear the siren, we'll go there. To stop us from worrying, Mother continues reading about beauty. His owners are so cruel. Catherine stamps her foot. Why is he mistreated? Different people treat their animals differently. Fortunately, the check rein isn't used anymore. The lady was mean to Ginger, I add, so she kicked the groom. My brother uses a whip sometimes, Hannah announces it like it's normal. He says his horse doesn't obey. We gasp. I think that's horrible. Some of Beauty's owners weren't kind, like the squire, Mother reminds us. More next time. As usual, our conversation ended with the ringing of the bell. Mrs. Davis kept her promise. She's teaching Hannah, Amy, Mary, me, and Catherine the quick way to write Braille. Instead of writing the whole word, we only need to write letters. Almost every letter of the alphabet is a word, Mrs. Davis explains. Lydia and Kathleen know most of it already. October is a little colder now. We continue to walk every evening. The best thing about being outside is gathering leaves into piles and jumping in them. The crunch under our feet. Then we tumble into a pile, giggling. When they see us playing, the older girls call out, "There are the little children." Kathleen always calls back, "We're just playing." It's Friday, and Julia wanders over. She surprisingly plays with us, scattering leaves in our hair. She calls us leaf princesses. When we grow tired, we compare lessons. We have a typing course as well, Julia says. What's typing? Mary shyly asks. It's a machine that prints letters onto paper when you press a key. The worst thing is we can't correct our mistakes. She sighs. When we return, Mother Anderson swiftly checks our hair for stray leaves and dirt on our clothes. I'm walking with Hannah on Saturday when we pass William and John working in the flower garden. Hello. I smile, remembering to speak English since John and Hannah are nearby. We talk about gardening, and John tells us about his summer. Then William asks, "How was your summer, Hannah?" "Miss Hannah," she says loudly. "My summer was absolutely perfect. We attended the cinema, ballet, and opera." "What's the opera and ballet?" I already know about the cinema. You need to wear fancy dresses to go. The opera has beautiful singers and music. The ballet is dancing. If I sit close, I can see a little. Sounds wonderful. William stopped shoveling. Your family seems like an exciting one. Do you always visit those places? Yes, I started going last year, she says. We all do fun things. My sister has ballet lessons, and my brother rides horses. She takes a breath. Mother Anderson says you're doing well, John answers quietly. Sometimes we hear you girls practicing piano. I guess, she mumbles. Let's go, Esther. They have work to do. She grabs my hand and pulls me back to the school. Sewing is getting slightly harder, too. We're knitting sleeves today, Esther. Catherine, help Lydia and Hannah. As we begin, Kathleen asks when we can make dresses. When you complete sleeves, backs, and other parts of a dress. Then we'll complete one together, Miss Walters says. Amy, look, that shape isn't a mountain, is it? Miss Price shouts. No, it's curvy. That's called a river. Which one, please? Esther, you tell us in English. When I reply, she growls, you're improving. It's the 13th. We're listening to Children's Hour when the man announces that Princess Elizabeth is about to give a speech. This must be the princess that Hannah thought she saw. The room grows even more quiet as she begins. When she talks about the evacuated children and their wonderful adventures, I start crying. I am having an adventure. I'm learning so much and making friends. She finishes by saying, God will take care of us. Then she and her sister say goodnight. Did the princesses really have to go away? Catherine whispers. Yes, Mother Anderson replies. They were sent to Windsor Castle. Where did the king and queen live? I ask. In their palace in London, she replies. Will they see their mummy and daddy again? Mary's question makes me feel homesick again. I'm sure the king and queen hope to see the princesses soon, just like your parents want to see you, Mother says. We spend the rest of the evening talking about our families. Mary talks about her brothers and sisters who always chase each other through the house until their mom yells at them to stop. Her parents work in a big factory making airplanes. Catherine is next. All she says is her family lives in a small house and she has two sisters. What does your father do? Mother asks. He works in a factory, too. When it's my turn, before I can speak, Hannah groans. Not your sister again. You know where your family is. I don't. I explained for the 100th time. I don't want to forget them. Go on, love. Mother squeezes my hand. And the rest of you be silent, please. I take a deep breath and start talking. I live in Berlin with my mama, papa, and sister Leah. Hannah sighs again, but I keep going. We live above a bakery, and my parents work there. I helped them when Leah was in school. You've never been to school? Mary is surprised. I've been coming here since I was 6. I tried when I was 6, but I didn't know Braille then, so I had to listen. Then I tell them about our piano lessons. I talked about Leah's friends and how we played piano together. Sometimes Leah would play without me at a friend's house. Kathleen speaks next. Mrs. Porter gives you different meals sometimes. Yes, but they're not like Mama's. Everyone laughs, and we talk about our favorite meals for a while. Why did you come here? Catherine asks. Because, Mother starts to answer for me, their parents knew they'd be safe here in England. Good parents want to do what's best for their children. They knew we could educate Esther while she was here. I tell them a little about the awful Nazis with their horrible rules. Our neighbor said we couldn't practice piano anymore. She was afraid she'd be in trouble for teaching Jews in her house. Leah couldn't ride her bike or go to school. Our parents lost their jobs. So we came here on a train with other kids. Leah was taken first, and I don't know where. Then Mrs. Davis brought me here. Mother, you didn't tell us that, Amy blurts out. You just said a new girl named Esther was coming. All right, Amy, you're next, Mother continues. My dad's a fisherman, Amy says proudly. He takes his green boat out on the sea and doesn't come back until dark. When he isn't fishing, we go down to the beach and build sandcastles. This summer, he went on a special trip. Where? Catherine interrupts. Did he travel alone? Yes, Amy replies quietly. He wouldn't talk about it, but Mum was very happy when he returned home. When he came in, she knocked her hair over and started crying. She and Dad laughed and cried for a long time. He was away for many days. My sister said that one day she saw a whole bunch of boats and ships leaving at once. I heard their whistles blowing when I was outside. Now, every time we ask about it, we're told to go to our rooms. She's angry now. Why wouldn't they tell us anything? Because, Mother answers, it was a grown-up conversation between your parents. When you're older, they may explain it in more detail. Hannah, Kathleen, and Lydia take turns, and then it's bedtime. Tonight, I clutch Minna tighter than usual. I'm still wide awake. Will I ever see Leah again? The Nazis are terrifying. Will we ever return home? It's November now. It's beginning to snow. This is exciting for us as we play jokes on each other using the snow. Mother Anderson hates it when we mess up the dormitory with that stuff, as she says. She doesn't understand the fun part, trying to figure out who did what. Today, Mary and Kathleen even put snow in the washroom bath to trick the older girls, since it's their night to bathe. Trying not to laugh too loudly, we listen for their screams. Mother's wondering why we're so quiet tonight. May we come in? Mother Matthew's keys are in her hand. We'll stop what we're doing and listening. Very amusing. Her voice is quiet, but we hear every word. I agree with you, Mother Anderson says, standing beside her. Girls, that was a horrible trick. They could have fallen. Luckily, they weren't hurt. One of the staff was filling the bath when we discovered your surprise. The whole tub has to be cleaned and refilled. Will they be punished? Mother asks you in a demanding way. Yes, but first an apology. Bring them in, Mother says. The older girls enter silently. We each say sorry when they leave. That went well, Kathleen says sarcastically. They were supposed to find the snow. Mother is in the washroom. How did she know it was us? Mary asks. We were silent. Silly, we're the only other girls here, Hannah says furiously. See what you did? Now we're all in trouble. The bell rings and Mother returns. Be silent. The room is clear of snow. Bedtime now. Why do I have to be punished? Hannah whines. I didn't do it. No, but everybody's being punished just the same. If you didn't do it, you knew about it. I'll think of something. No talking tonight, Mother orders. Once we're in bed, she slams the door loudly. It's breakfast time. We get our punishment. Your punishments are extra work for Mrs. Davis and cleaning, Mother announces. In class, we had to write an apology letter to each of the girls. We didn't finish them, so we have that to do in addition to more grade 2 Braille homework. Cleaning begins after piano playing. You'll clean Mother Matthew's dormitory, we're told. We silently get to work as Mother Matthews watches us. You, little girl, don't miss that corner, she says to Amy. Yes, Mother, Amy scrubs quietly. And you, German girl, polish the mantle again. It's dusty. 2 hours later, our slightly cold dinner is waiting in our dorm. Mother looks at our hands for bleeding but says nothing. Sit and eat, she orders.